We're certainly happy this morning to be here with you again. I feel at home here as always, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I would ask this morning that you pray for me as I stand before you, and that you would pray for one another, that the Lord would bless us today as our good friend Brother Virgil has spoken to us, and pray for one another in order that we might fulfill the law of Christ. I would ask you to pray for those who are in need of prayer, and I know in my own family of those who are in need of such prayer. My wife's here with me this morning, Sister Susan, and she's a great help to me, and I shudder to think where I would be this morning were it not for her. But I ask this morning that as close of friends as we have, that we understand that we have a friend that is closer than one of our relatives, our brothers, our sisters, and he's promised to abide with us now, henceforth and forever. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world.
Right.
Thank God for that precious promise.
Amen.
Call your attention this morning to the 15th chapter of the book of John. 15th chapter of the book of John. And when you begin to read throughout the Bible, you'll find a number of times that Jesus denominated himself as I am. You remember when they came to arrest him, to take him to trial, the soldiers went to his abiding place, and as he abode there, they asked him, "Art thou the Christ? Art thou that man that claims to be the Christ?" And he said, "I am he."
Yeah.
If you'll notice, that word "he" is in italics. That is a word added by the translator.
Yeah.
So we can read that and say that Jesus said, "I am." And the soldiers fell backward at those particular words. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll not belabor you with all of that terminology, but I will call your attention to John 15:1, when Jesus said, "I am the true vine,
yes,
and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Yes.
Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Now, in these particular words, Jesus is addressing his disciples about his going away. And he begins back in chapter 14, and he gives some explicit terms about his going away, his oneness with the Father, what awaits the redeemed family of God. And then he comes to 15, and the tenor of the thinking changes just a little bit. He's been talking about his going away, but now he comes to the individuals that he calls branches and those who are abiding in him. I hope you'll remember that, because it's very important. Now this morning, for the time that I stand before you, I want to talk to you about how we abide in Christ.
Right.
Abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the truth, not only in John, but in Ephesians, Revelation, and Deuteronomy, must be rightly divided and placed in the right context, because a text without a context is a pretext. So I say today that we abide in Christ. We are abiding in Christ today, and we abide in Christ in three ways. And I want to talk to them just briefly this morning about how we abide in Christ. First of all, we abide in Christ from a covenant relationship. Jesus Christ himself, according to the words of the apostle, notice the terminology that he used in Ephesians chapter 1, and this is a very familiar text to you Bible readers, but it's very important in the context of this scripture. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 2, the Bible says this. Well, let's back up and get verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, or the sanctified, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to notice how this description is given. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace. And you'll notice, and I'll give you this as a sidelight, every time that you read that statement, it's always grace first.
Right.
Completely and without exception, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, H-A-T-H, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice the word in. And when you have time, I want you to take time at your convenience to go through the book of Ephesians, especially chapter 1, and notice how many times the word in is mentioned. In Christ. In him, in Christ.
Right.
And that is so important that it tells us that if we are in him, we are a part of him, and therefore we are abiding in him. Now he says this, according as he hath, H-A-T-H again, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in love. There's no doubt in my mind, and there's no doubt in any Christian believer's mind, that we could exclude God's choice from this text. It must be founded on God's choice through Christ as the remedy for the sin debt that his people owe.
Yeah.
Now, if that's true, everything else in this chapter will harmonize with it when it is rightly divided and properly applied.
Amen.
According as he hath chosen us. What does that mean? Make choice of us. How? In him. You get it. The time element involved. Before the foundation of the world.
Right.
What is the end result? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen.
So according to that text and the time element in that text, this hath already been done, that it is a past completed action with a present continuing effect. That's the legal term that is indicated here. According as he, that is God, hath already done, chosen us, that is those who are saints or sanctified, according to as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Not in works, but in love.
That's right.
Having, all right, here's God's action then. Having predestinated us, the same ones that he chose, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. How? By the adopting parent, Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, brother, I want to tell you something. The good pleasure of God's will always caps the stack.
That's right.
The good pleasure, our God, says Psalms 115, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Mm-hmm.
From eternity to eternity, God's will, God's wisdom, and God's decrees have determined the destiny of a people that is more numerous than the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea, and that they shall and will hear the voice of God through the option of the Holy Spirit and be called from a dead state in sin to a life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's fundamental to what abiding in Christ means. And today, my friend, the Bible says, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Yeah.
Brethren, today, thank God that we have been made accepted.
Right.
Thank God today that it is not incumbent upon us to accept him, but rather through his faithfulness to the promise of God, we have been accepted and abide in him from a standpoint of the promise of the successful and faithful abiding of the covenant of God. A covenant is a contract. Covenant is a contract between one or more. But I want to tell you today, in the ancients of eternity, beyond what our mind can comprehend and can even comprehend, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost confirmed themselves in a contract that said, God says, I have chosen, I have made the means of redemption, and you are the objects of redemption.
Amen.
Thank God today You can say this, you can say that was a three-party covenant, but I want to tell you, even in this covenant, Brother Virgil, God made a covenant with himself.
Yeah.
Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost on our articles of faith, if you got posted right out there, we don't believe they are just coming together as one. We believe they are one.
Amen. That's it, brother.
They are one in thought. They are one in action. They are one in results. One has and cannot do anything without the full cooperation and the consent of the other two. Therefore, the possibility of the failure does not exist. That's the reason you have hope today.
Amen.
That's the reason you have an expectation. That God Almighty, to whom you belong and abide in, you abide in God, and yet you abide in Christ. You abide in Christ by the choice of God, and you are abiding in Him, and you will always abide in Him.
Amen.
Why is that? Because God, who cannot lie, promised eternal life before the world began, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And because that is true, my friend, you're abiding in Christ there, not only with Christ as a surety, but as God's promise as security. And what a wonderful thought that is to that. Wouldn't you hate to think that you had to successfully outrun the devil till you die? I tell you, I wouldn't make the grave. Something about it that I just can't live up to. And I'll tell you, when you boil it down, everything about it I can't live up to. But my legal representative, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, has said My faithfulness is new every morning. The promises of God are renewed in us, His people, who abide in Him from a covenant relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 says, "And of Him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and sanctification and redemption." You notice all of those things. God, who in Christ, He's not only made us His own, but He's made us redeemed. He's made us sanctified. He has made us whatever Christ is. That's what we are. Because we are abiding in Him by the very choice and covenant relationship of God. You're abiding in Him today. And I will disagree with every man that says, that can be annulled. I tell you today, my friend, the work of Christ, the work of God in eternity cannot be annulled, because it stands not only on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the foreknowledge of God, who has said, I know them who are mine. I've chosen you and made you what you are. And today you stand before God as one righteous in Christ, and you will abide in Him regardless of the circumstances of your life or of the circumstances that this world may bring. I've heard some people say, and I've had preached a number of suicides in my community and everywhere else. I want to tell you, my friend, suicide does not negate the grace of God.
No, it doesn't.
Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, nakedness, famine, peril, or sword? Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither life nor death nor any other creature shall be able to separate us
from the love of God. I tell you this today, that you are in Him. You are in Him because of the simple reason that God's mind and God's determinations are real. They're not artificial, but they are real. And to the believer today, there's something beyond this veil of tears that we can't explain, and yet they are just as real as Macedonia Church today.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thought that is.
Praise God.
We're not only abiding in Him from a covenant relationship, but we abide in Him from a creative standpoint. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Mm-hmm. Now this is a creative work. Don't miss that. It's not an overhaul. God doesn't overhaul the man or the object of salvation, but He creates in us a new man, the hidden man of the heart, and from that point on there's a conflict between the old man and the new man, and you're going to have to live with that till the day you die. Nevertheless, you are abiding in Christ from a creative standpoint. From a standpoint of regeneration.
Amen.
God comes to you. It may come like He did to John before he was born. Some people, I can't carry you to the place nor tell you the time, Brother Virgil, that I first loved Christ, where I first came into that relationship. I can't do that. I can't remember a time when I didn't love God and I didn't love Christ. And I think probably most people are like that. I don't know about that. But I am telling you this today, my friend, that when you are called from nature to grace, you are placed in Christ in a vital sense. You are placed in Him from a standpoint of baptism, and that spiritual baptism. That baptism is the element that vitally puts you in the body of Christ. For by one Spirit, what? We are baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and whether we've been Jew or Gentile, you are in Christ by the new birth. And you abiding in Him today. You know, I was down at Louisiana preaching one time, and there was an old colored lady there that sat in the back of the house. And after the service was over with her, I conversed with her for just a little while, and she said, Brother Ricky, I can remember the time when the Lord, and I was a little girl, and I was chopping cotton in the Pearl River bottom. And yesterday we were coming from New Orleans home and we crossed the Pearl River. And I thought about that. She told me, she said, I was chopping cotton in the Pearl River bottom. And the Lord struck me down in the cotton middle and showed me just exactly what I was. And she said, you know, sometimes in my mind, I like to go back down to that cotton middle. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful thought that is to me. What a wonderful thought it is to me when we can go back and feel the time when the Lord renewed that great spirit in us and brought us from a state of death to a state of life. That may have been an experience. Everybody's experience is different. You remember Paul, the Lord spoke to him directly. And we can go on and on with examples like that, but I affirm to you, my friend, that when you are born again, there is a miraculous operation called the circumcision of the heart that takes place, and then and because you're abiding in Christ eternally, you are brought to Him in a vital or real sense.
Yeah.
Through the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Doesn't take the gospel. You know, I believe there'll be millions in heaven today, and I can't tell you how many is going to be here. I can tell you just exactly. Let me take that back. I'll tell you just exactly how many is going to be in heaven. That's just as many as were chosen in Christ before the world began. Now, ever how many that was, that's how many is going to be there. Because that's how many is going to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. They're predestinated or predetermined to that end by the wisdom of God, who in all eternity didn't look down through the channels of time and see who would accept him, but looked down through the channels of time, saw the fall, saw all that was there, and then in spite of everything, executed his will through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're abiding in Christ today. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and beginning with verse 8 and listen to what he says. Very familiar text. For by grace are you saved through faith, or by that avenue. And that not of God, it is, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through that, by the avenue of faith. Now the opponents of sovereign grace teaching, like we teach it, will say that true, we are saved by grace, and yet we must have faith in order to make grace effective. I want to tell you something, my friend. If you have faith today, grace is already effective.
That's right.
Grace is already effective. You know why? Because you read the fruits of faith in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Do you know what the seventh fruit of the Spirit is? Faith. And I tell you right now that if you've got faith, you're already in possession of eternal life.
That's it.
It is a fruit of eternal life. And the fact of the matter is, if you want to tell me that the faith precedes the grace of God, I want to tell you now, you're reading this book wrong. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through or by the avenue of faith. And I don't want to disappoint you today, but it's not your faith.
No.
It is the faith of God.
Right. Amen, brother.
Somebody said, I didn't know God had faith. Well, read it. Let's read it in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Get that now.
Yeah.
God can't give something he doesn't possess. So in order to give us faith, and faith is a gift of God, then God must first possess what he gives. God has faith. God's faith's not in you, but God's faith was in his only begotten Son.
Amen.
God's faith was in Christ. And I tell you now that because his faith was in Christ, there is nothing that will separate you from the love of God. I don't care what it is. You are abiding in Christ from a covenant standpoint. And because of God's work, you are abiding in him from a regenerative standpoint. Go with me to John chapter 3, a very familiar text. And let's read there for just a moment. There was a man of the Pharisees. Now remember who the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were a religious sect in the day of Jesus who adhered to the law. They were great advocates of the law. And this man named was a man of the Pharisees. They confessed angels, spirits, the resurrection of the dead, and yet they were unbelievers in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who the Pharisees were. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
Yeah.
So we know this man was in authority. We know he was probably a part of the Sanhedrin. That doesn't say that, but I would argue with somebody to say that he's not. He's a ruler of the Jews. The same, that man Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night. Didn't want anybody to see him. He had a particular interest in this man. The same came to Jesus by night. Get the time element involved now. It's dark. And said to him, Rabbi, that is to say master, we know that thou art a teacher from God. Now we know that much.
Yeah.
We know that much. you're a teacher come from God. Why? Because no man could do these miracles except God be with him. I mean, you know, that's plain. He understood that much about it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except, or that means unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right, let's go a little further and get the explanation. Nicodemus said to him, now Nicodemus is trying to figure this out lawfully.
Yeah.
How can a man be born when he's old? That doesn't make sense. You're telling me I've got to be born to see the kingdom of God. Now, you read with me in Romans 15 when Jesus said that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't forget that. Put you up a little stake right there. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Now, he's trying to do this lawfully, logically. You ever hear of the experts? You know about the experts?
Yeah.
You know, the experts say. Well, let me tell you something. The experts built the Titanic. Amen?
Yeah.
The experts built the Titanic. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, truly, truly again, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. Needn't he tell you what that Spirit is? He's not, water here doesn't mean baptism. You're not born because you're baptized. But what this does mean is, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water, even the Spirit. That's what this means. That's what it says. Except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then he's plain about it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Mm-hmm. One seed produces another seed. It's the same after the same nature. There's no change in the nature.
No.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born to the Spirit is spirit. You notice the nature change? One is natural, the other is spiritual.
Right.
The nature change. All right? Now, marvel not, don't worry about it, Nicodemus, that I said you must be born again. Jesus said you must be born again, and I'll tell you, we are obligated to believe you must be born again on the basis that Jesus said you must be born again. But I want to tell you right now, he didn't give Nicodemus one direction how to get born again. Not one. You search if you will, but you'll not find it. Not one direction is given for him how to get born again. But he told him how it came. Let's read it. The wind bloweth where it listeth. It bloweth where it will. This is how it works. Now he's explaining it to him. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it goeth, or whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So that tells us that everyone that is born of the Spirit is born just alike. Amen. Everyone that is born of the Spirit is born just alike. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How does a baby get eternal life? Just like Paul got eternal life. How does an infant get eternal life? Just like you got eternal life. How's an infant saved by the grace of God? Just like you're saved. How does an infant, everyone. Not a different class, but everyone that is born the same way from above. Therefore, everyone must be born from above. And the Bible says, so is everyone that is, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How can these things be, says Nicodemus? Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things. You ought to be smart enough to figure this out.
Yeah.
You're a master in Israel. You worked your way up the ladder. And you don't more even know any more than the common street religionist. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? I'll tell you today, my friend, when God chose you in Christ, he performed a time and it dedicated a time when you would be brought from nature to grace. And I'll tell you right now, that's just as sure. You can write it in the history book. For even those that have not been born, there's a time that they will be delivered from the bondage of sin and brought into a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can write it in the history book. And when the very last one have been born again, I want to tell you right now, God's through this place.
That's it.
It's over. You hear me? That's right. But now you're abiding in Christ. You're abiding in Christ from a covenant standpoint. You're abiding in Christ from a regenerated standpoint. Now, I'm going to give you one more before I go to my last part here. And I want you to notice what Romans chapter 16 and verse 7 says. Romans chapter 16 and verse 7. Paul is leaving the Roman church and he is commending people to those that will be reading this particular text. I commend, that is, I recommend here. I commend. I'm showing you by choice that these people are what they say they are. Listen to it now. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now, I don't know what to think about that. I'm just going to believe what it says. I'm saying that this good sister was a servant of the church. And I tell you right now, I think every one of you here today, you good sisters, I could commend you to anybody and say that you are a servant of the church. You're a servant of the church. And this is what this woman was. He said, receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself. Also, this good sister was a laborer in the vineyard. And I thank God for every one of you here this morning.
Amen.
Then he said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Deacon and his wife, Priscilla and Aquila, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentile give thanks. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Verse 7 is what I want to get to. This is going to be one of the most important things I say this morning. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsman. Verse 7. My fellow prisoner. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul denominates himself as a prisoner of Christ for you Gentiles. All right? He says, Andronicus and Junia are my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. Get it? Who are of note among the apostles, that is, they're very worthy according to all the other apostles. Now get this next phrase. It's easy to read over. Who also were in Christ before me.
Yeah.
Think about that, Brother Bert. Paul said that these were in Christ before me.
Yeah.
I like that. Paul looked at himself and he said, I've been here a long time, but here was some that were in Christ before me.
That's right.
Before me. Now I'm going to leave that with you. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, but I'm going to go back to my text now to close this out. We're in Christ. We're abiding in him. from a standpoint of a covenant relationship. We are in Christ or abiding in Christ through the standpoint of a regenerative standpoint or a new birth standpoint, and we're abiding in Him. Those things are just as eternal as God is, because God's work is an eternal side of His character. And then He says this, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now He's talking to the disciples. Now He says, abide in me. Get this direction now. All of the family of God are in Him from a covenant relationship. All the family of God are in Him from the standpoint of regeneration, or they will be that. And they will be that because of the promise of God. But I want to tell you right now, all the family of God are not abiding in Him from the standpoint of a gospel sense. All of them don't belong to the church. All of them are not obeying His word. All of them don't persevere. All of them, some abide in the vine, thank God for them. But there are some that fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
Just like those seed that fell when the sower sowed them, and the fowls came and devoured them up because they had no root. All of those seed were children of God, but all of them didn't bring forth fruit.
That is it, brother.
And I tell you, all the family of God are in Him, abiding in Him, but not all of them bring forth fruit, because all of them don't materially abide in Him from the standpoint of abiding in the vine. Now, He gives us instruction about that, and I'll close here in just a second. He said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Children of God, I want to tell you today that you, as children of God, born again, grace bought and heaven taught, I want you to know today that you are obligated by the word of God, if you've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, you are obligated to abide in the vine. You are obligated to abide in Christ. It won't change heaven, but what it will do will make you what? A fruit-bearing branch by abiding in the vine. And abiding in that vine, you can't bear fruit except you abide in that vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. I'm the true vine. If there is a true vine, evidently there must be a false vine. But He said, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You know that's plain, isn't it? Without me, ye can do nothing. Now, I can do some things that I don't think that God has a part in. Amen. I think that you've done things that God didn't have a part in. But I want to thank anyway that God is teaching us. And I want to thank you today for being here, from the sense that you are this day abiding in the vine. You are bringing forth fruit to the names of God and glory Himself, lifting up your voices in praise and adoration to Him who was raised from the dead and made you subject to the gospel address. This same Jesus who Paul declared and who Peter declared, this same Jesus was raised from the dead. And when you abide in that vine, you bring forth fruit to His name's honor and glory. When you walk down the aisle and confess Him before men, it doesn't make you a child of God, but it's because you're already a child of God. And because you are a child of God, through that offering of yourself, you're able to bring forth fruit unto God, and God will bless you in that obedience. That is a conditional promise. That's a conditional promise. Now, the covenant relationship, Jesus met every condition. You didn't have to meet conditions to go to heaven. Jesus met that for you. In the regeneration work, you didn't have to meet conditions. God Almighty made you a willing character in the days of his power. But I want to tell you something. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we abide in the vine, God himself blesses us in our obedience by bringing forth fruit to his name's honor and glory. But you know what that is? That's because of him, because he says, without me, you can do nothing. You see, the bottom line is what he is, the true vine, the vine. I am the vine. And he said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch.
Yeah.
I know some that have been cast forth, don't you?
Right.
I know some that, like Demas, one of the saddest statements in the Bible to me, Brother Virgil, is when Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 10, Demas has forsaken me.
Yeah.
Having loved this present world. Yeah. He didn't abide in the vine. It didn't change where he's going. Didn't mean he's going to hell, but he didn't abide in the vine. Demas has forsaken me and went to Thessalonica.
Yeah.
He was one time called a fellow prisoner, a fellow laborer, but he forsook him. He lost his fruit bearing. And I'll tell you, God's children, I think today that they're children of God that are living homeless. While we were in New Orleans, I saw homeless people talking out of their mind. I was afraid. I was glad to get back to Sand Mountain. You know, but the thing about it was that they were walking around just out of their mind. They were somewhere else. Just the streets were full, and it was a sad situation. And you know what the government says? Let's throw a little more money at it, and we'll fix the problem. I'll tell you right now, they've thrown money at it for generation upon generation upon generation. And you know what they finally come up with? Just say no.
Yeah.
Just say no. That's the best they could do. And I tell you this today, my friend, there's something we can say yes to today in the kingdom of God. There's something we can say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. Like I say, Lord, here am I. Lord, what do you want me to do? Here am I, send me. Yes, sir. And as willing characters abiding in the vine, I want you to know today that there is a blessing for you when you bring those tithes to the storehouse and in offerings of your body and living sacrifice, that God will pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot contain.
Amen.
And I tell you, that's where we are today. This world is no friend of grace. This world will tell you, young people, well, you're only passing through this world one time. Just go out and live it up. Do your own thing, because you only live once. You only live once. I'll tell you, that's a lie straight out of hell. Yeah. I'll tell you today that you better be careful in this world. You better be careful, because it's easy to get drawn off.
Yeah.
It's easy to get drawn away. Paul teaches us that. The apostles teach us that. Jesus taught us that. Common sense teaches us that. And as I close my message today, I encourage each one of you today, because I warn you. Paul says, as my beloved sons, I warn you.
Yeah.
I love you, but he says, as my beloved sons, I warn you.
Yeah.
Be careful. Be careful. Because the elements of this world are strong. I believe they're stronger today than they've ever been.
That's right.
I believe they'll draw you away quicker. It's easy to take up with them. It's easy to marry yourselves to the gods of this world. My God, how I pray that you will abide in the vine.
That's right.
And bring forth fruit. Because without me, you can do nothing. Always, in every degree, I encourage you to rely upon him who cannot lie, to rely upon him who will bring you, and to rely upon you who through his decreeing purposes shall overshadow you. You know those old preachers used to pray? You know what they said? Lord, thank you for caring for me through dangers seen and unseen.
Yeah.
Old preachers used to say that, and I like that. I think about it more today than I ever have. Today, young and old alike, I encourage you to abide in the vine, bring forth fruit to God's honor and glory, and I'll assure you that there's a blessing in it that only you will know, and God is able to do that for you. May God bless you is my prayer for Jesus' sake. If you're here this morning and want to unite with this church in the way that the gospel authorizes to receive members, then you come while we're saying. What's your number, brother?